How are you, Cindy?
I'm very well, thank you.
Sorry, Alan, but...
Maybe a bit of a husky voice.
That's no good. Probably yelling at the opposition. sorry about that, but we'll just soon be having a bit of trouble here with the iPad. But anyway, we're set to go now. First of all, Cindy, I guess one of the reasons you can't be with us is Parliament sitting today, is it?
No, Parliament's not sitting today.
Oh, right.
But I'm part of... what's a committee hearings that they have, and mine is the Legal and Social Issues Committee, and today we are having our first lot of hearings about cults and fringe groups and fringe religious groups.
Right.
So,
Can I just ask you, for the sake of the audience, when you say these committees, are they a joint committee between, like they're not just all your party?
Oh, no. The committees, parliamentary committees, are always made up of different members, whether they're the major parties or independents. That, yep. You know, they'll have different, each committee will have different members. And, yep. And there's environment and infrastructure and economy and, you know, quite different ones. And I'm on the legal and social issues this time. And we are looking, as I mentioned, into the practice of cults and organised fringe groups. And, you know, I can't say too much. You know, we're taking submissions, obviously, and we've just started hearings. But the hearings, you know, are public. Some people don't want them to be public. But, you know, there's particular revival centres, and there's a Korean particular group that have recruit people at train stations or at, like, say, Melbourne Central, for example, or shopping strips and things like that. So, you know, we're hearing a bit about the different recruitment techniques, and then when you're part of a cult, what it's like, because there's a lot of people that have left cults and are speaking out about it. So, and they've had quite a bit of media, so it's very interesting.
So, Cindy, we'll be interested to see the final report. Cindy, on a committee the likes of this, and you don't have to necessarily talk about this one, how long do you get before you have to report back to the government? And does much change when you do report?
Look, it depends. It depends on the government and the minister. This inquiry isn't due until September next year. So we've got, you know, probably a good 15 months from when it started. We'd done one previously on organ donation.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you talking to us about that.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the recommendations, things do get picked up by government. Sometimes they don't. Last time we looked at perpetrator behaviour in the family violence space, and the government, I don't think, have come back to us on that with whether they'll accept any of the recommendations or not. But, you know, it depends. Sometimes things get picked up. Sometimes recommendations are really hard. Sometimes the recommendations are about kind of trying to work with the Commonwealth on some of their systems that might be blockers. You know, things can be enhanced. So, you know, they can have some really good outcomes. I was on an autism one quite a number of years ago, and it was things like police understanding when they're dealing with somebody with autism, or the emergency departments of hospitals having really bright lights. And if there's somebody who, you know, that makes them flip out, having to put them in a room with low lighting and different things. And a number of those things did get picked up. So,
because unfortunately,
usually they're good ideas.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the autism, like a few of the police just thought they were misbehaving, didn't they? Rather than, or they were drunk and not. Didn't realise that autism...
Yeah, or smart aleck.
Yep.
Because if they give you a particular answer, it's absolutely they think it's the right answer to the question that you've asked.
Yep.
You know, and I can think of a number of people that when we were doing our inquiries, and you talk to people and they just give you a really blunt answer, not the answer that you're expecting, but when you thought about the question that you'd ask, you think, okay, I can see why they've answered that like that. Let me change and ask it a different way. Mm. So, you know, a lot of things highlighting like that, but, you know, here really is about, the practices and coercive controls of cults and things like that. And there's been quite a lot of media about different cults over the time, and including, you know, we had that one, Anne Hamilton Byrne, a number of years ago, based at Lake Eildon.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the kids had dyed blonde hair and white dresses and white clothes and stuff like that. You know,
and
that
she, only died a couple of years ago, didn't she?
Yeah, fairly recently. And, you know, we're hoping that the detective that was involved in that will be able to come and talk to us and give evidence about the sorts of things that made it easy or that made it difficult for them to bring about charges. So, you know, the intent is good. And as I said, we've just started our public hearings and, you know, people can follow these things when they look up their parliamentary website and to find out what hearings are on and listen in or watch, actually, because it's videoed as well.
All right, I've got to take a quick break, Cindy, and we'll be back with more. In the 1960s, 70s, there was a group called Simon and Garfunkel. Well, on the Oz Indie Show, which is where that song came out of, Fight On, they've changed it. This group is now called Simone and Garfunkels. What a great way to try and get onto somebody else's thing. Anyway, Cindy, let's get started. I'm sorry about this. We've had a couple of technical problems here, but we're right now. You want to talk about the Warburton Bike Path.
Yes, I do, and they had a bit of an opening at Wesburn Park for the first bit of the Warburton Bike Park on Saturday. And I'll tell you what, there were plenty of people who came out for the opening, plenty of riders. You know, there was no formalities particularly at all. Yep. They were launching the first 30 kilometres of mountain bike trails. And, you know, that's quite a lot, actually, 30 kilometres.
That's a lot.
It is. They're mostly easy trails, and people came from all over Melbourne. In fact, people from, you know, around Victoria headed to Warburton or to Wesburn to do the tracks, which were mostly easy. And if you've had some mountain bike experience, you know, you could make your way around. And they had a couple of big groups. They had a women's group that was a really large number of women, actually. I was impressed. And they were kind of taken on guided, you know, through guided paths and things like that to know what to do in that first instance, I guess.
Oh, that's terrific. And is it going to be extended further, or is that as far as it's going to go?
No, this is just the first little bit. And let me say, this has taken years. Years. This is 13 years.
I think we've talked about that before, how long some of this stuff takes.
It's well, Dennis Napthine and I announced this, you know, like in 2013, 2014. So, you know, it's over a decade. And the council have had to jump through an incredible number of hoops, incredible number of, oh, yes, and the government made them do an environmental effects statement, which you'd say, okay, well and good, but they were the only mountain bike park in the state that was subject to those conditions. And it cost, you know, cost $5 million or something. It was a staggering amount to do that work, and council have persevered, and the feedback was great. And not only have they got 30 k's of trails just at the back of Wesburn, because it will be extended up into further into Warburton as well, but they've got a pump track for kids, and that
pump track
it's a little circuit that of all, you know, that crisscrosses, and it's got a few humps and bumps, and you know, you can kind of go down a steep little bit, or you could, there's various paths. So if you're 3 or 4, which there were plenty of 3 or 4 year olds there on scooters, you know, you don't have to take the scary path. But if you're a 10-year-old boy with no fear, you know, you can go flying down this steep grade. And, you know, I saw one girl and her dad were going down them together. They'd have a bit of a race, and they'd go down the steep bit, and she'd peel off to the left and he'd peel off to the right, and they'd race back to the to where they were. And so, and I've seen them in other places, and, you know, it's a terrific spot. It's right at Wesburn Park where the football ground is, and there's a little playground there, and it's just behind the playground. So I imagine that all of these kids that are going off to play footy probably take their little bikes or their scooters and
have a bit of fun as well.
Have a bit of fun on the pump track. So that gets kids, you know, like often families, you know, someone can, you know, the introduction, I guess it is, and the easy paths that are open, you know, if you've got a little bit of skill, that is the next part of the introduction. So I think the whole lot, they're looking at middle of next year for the lot to be open. But it was, you know, terrific, and I really encourage you, you know, if you want to get out of the house and get down with nature, what better way than to be doing it with some exercise and getting up in the hills of Warburton.
And get the kids off the screens.
Get the kids off the streets. And someone did say when they were about to take the group off that it is okay if you have to get off and walk up one of the hills.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Cindy, you want to talk about some changes down at the college?
At Piloti College, and a lot of people will be familiar with Piloti College. I'm up in the hills just above Millgrove, stunning views, and it's been there for I forget how many years, maybe since the early 60s.
True, yep.
And it's been a Catholic, not a school, but it's been a Catholic college that they've used for retreats and things like that, so that families, weekends, different, you know, courses and things like that that they've run, that people have gone there over the years. And so many people locally have had, you know, leadership seminars and things that have been conducted. It's a wonderful, wonderful facility. But it's just changed hands as at the 1st of July.
Yeah.
And it's now called Sandham Grove. And it's St. Thomas of the Apostle, had a funny name as well, but it's essentially an Indian Catholic community. And they're looking to do similar things to what's happened at Piloti over the years.
All right. So it eventually it will be available for people to run things there, or they will run seminars and all that there.
Since I imagine both. I imagine both, that if they want to have weekend retreats or leadership training for various members within, you know, within their organisation, that they can do that. They had lots of top brass, you know, from New Zealand, and somebody came over from India. They had the Consul General, the Ambassador Commissioner from India was there as well. I usually only see him at the cricket. Now, he's fairly new, so he's getting around to all sorts of things. He just happened to be here when the end of the cricket season. They had people, as I said, from interstate. They had a couple of bishops turn up. It was a really a big deal, actually. They had, their welcoming prayers and things like that, and an afternoon tea. It was good.
Now, what else has been going on in the community, please?
Well, on the weekend, I actually went to a girls' football game, under 15s, I think it was.
Yeah.
Healesville versus Wesburn.
Yeah.
And it was in Healesville at Queen's Park there. And I've got to say, the standard of the football was really good. Surprised me how good it was for these girls, and they've grown up, as a younger age, starting, having a kick to kick, and knowing that they've got a pathway, rather than, when the big push on women's football came in a few years ago, a lot of people who weren't sporty started playing. Well, these kids are playing from a younger age, and, some of those girls could really kick that ball, and they could, mark it and do tackling and everything. I was impressed by how good it was.
Well, and I know I've got a granddaughter that's involved with Auskick. I mean, you go back 20 years ago and they would have sent a girl away, but, there's quite a lot of girls in Auskick now.
Oh, absolutely. And same with cricket. The women's cricket has done wonders, actually. It's really gone ahead in leaps and bounds. And to watch the Australian cricket team particularly, and a number of Victorians on that stage, has been fantastic. And it really does show kids that there's a pathway, certainly in some of these sports, to becoming more elite.
Yeah, which is terrific, because, they were really locked out of it for a long while, weren't they, the girls?
They were. And so this is where you see the change room situation, whereas a lot of change rooms historically male, because they've been male for football or cricket. Yep. Whereas I play hockey, and hockey's always been male and female, so you've never had that problem. There's always been male and female change rooms and things like that. Yeah, the sports that have always been played typically by men and women, have change rooms for men and women. It's just the ones that have been football, typically, if it's only been a footy in a cricket ground. Soccer's played by male and female, and I think that there's a lot of the soccer clubs around have got, girls and boys and adult change rooms.
Yeah, I guess the councils and everyone needs to keep up with that too, don't they?
It is. They do. And there is a fair access sport policy to make sure that infrastructure that is built by councils or modernised, that there is an equal access for women as there is men, because there's a big catch-up to do. But
that's a good point, isn't it? Like, the women's side of it are coming from a low base, aren't they? As opposed to...
Depending what sport. Don't say that it's golf or tennis or hockey.
No. Well, let's talk about... I thought we were actually talking about football and cricket. So in those, there's certainly a big catch-up to happen, isn't there?
Yeah, look, there is. And it's difficult for a council like the Yarra Rangers, I've got to say, because they have something like 16 clubs, from Belgrave to Yarra Glen to Powelltown. And everyone's looking for modern facilities. And you compare that with, I can't remember if it was Manningham or Whitehorse, that have got three.
Yeah.
I mean, so here's a Yarra Rangers with less income, less revenue, got to try and spread it more, and it is hard.
I was just going to say that. I mean, you move in towards the city and a lot of that was at one stage parks and that have been sold off and all sorts of things have been done, and a lot of them don't have those big facilities. But for somewhere out here where you've got 13 of them, like it's a big cost.
Look, it is. And in fact, Glen Ira, they sold off everything a number of years ago. Now they scream that they don't have any outdoor space. I mean, give me a break. You sold it or flogged it all off.
You can, if you've sold it off, you can't have it back. Cindy.
And, you know, it makes it difficult because, you know, you need to have healthy and active communities.
Absolutely.
And people need places to play their sport.
Now, I'm very conscious you have to get away shortly. Is there something else that you want to talk to us about before you have to go, Cindy?
I'm just wanting to alert people. I'm not sure if they're aware that the road between Yarra Glen and Healesville seems to have overnight gone from 100 to 80 kilometres an hour, and a lot of people are contacting me about that. So we're sort of trying to work out a little bit about why that happened or how that happened.
Which road was that again, please, Cindy?
Yarra Glen to Healesville. Oh, Healesville, yeah. Yarra Glen Road.
Yep.
And I do want to say, look, I was down at Millwarra Primary School just towards the end of last term and talking to the senior kids there, and they have the East Warburton and the Millgrove campus, and it was terrific to take all of the questions. All of the kids had a question to ask. Some asked multiple. It was terrific. But not only that, the teachers had questions as well that I had to answer.
Yeah, but it's good to see the kids, though, wanting to get involved too, likes of that, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You know, one of the issues that the kids from East Warburton have is to get across, to connect with more of the town, they've got to cross the river at the road, and you can't. There's no pedestrian crossing. So for the kids, if they're on their bikes or whatever, going to any type of, you know, the kids in the Yarra Valley get out on their bikes, yep, which is brilliant. Yep. But they have to actually come onto the road, and they're really keen to get a pedestrian bridge, but apparently they're pretty expensive. So it's some, you know, but it's things that they raise. The teachers raise that as well.
Tell me,
and different intersections and things like that. They've raised them, lots of things.
Tell me, did the Moorabbark set of lights come up again?
No, it stopped.
Because I thought some of the kids were saying Mum and Dad are sick of that happening.
Yeah, Montrose it was.
Oh, Montrose, that's right. Sorry, I had the wrong place.
It's done, so that hasn't come up. But potholes certainly comes up. Yep. You know, we talk about that a bit, and it's one that comes up pretty quickly because most of the parents, you know, whinge in the cars.
And swear and carry on. And Cindy, yep. Look, I know you've got to get away. Look, I thank you for your time again, and we look forward to talking to you next month.
Sure. No worries. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Cindy. Bye.
Bye.